Case U.S. v. Bland, 063223. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Mackenzie High. I'm a third-year law student at the University of Chicago, licensed under Illinois Supreme Court Rule 711, and I represent appellant Sean William Bland.
Well, welcome. Is it Ms. or Mrs. High?
Ms. or Miss.
All right. Ms. High, you may proceed. We're happy to have you here this morning.
Thank you. Sean Bland was deprived of a fair trial when the government suppressed material evidence that was damaging to its case, namely 4,000 pages documenting the misconduct of Detective James Graham, a policeman who investigated the bank robbery and also who testified at trial. His misconduct was so egregious that after more than a year of investigating Detective Graham, his own police department asked the U.S. attorney to prosecute him on federal criminal charges. The government and Mr. Bland agree on 2 points. First, the government admits that it withheld evidence that it should have disclosed. And second, that evidence consisted of serious misconduct allegations against Detective Graham and his division of the Springfield Police Department, the now disbanded Major Case Unit, including allegations of witness manipulation, intimidation, and withholding interview reports. Those two undisputed facts lay the basis for a textbook Brady violation.
Except here, isn't the big problem you have that the exculpatory statement, the false exculpatory statement, were made during an interview that was videotaped? So in terms of Detective Graham's influence on Bland to make those false exculpatory statements, what is there other than what was captured on the videotape?
Well, Your Honor, we know that the Springfield Police Department were the first to arrive at the scene of the crime. And we also know that Detective Graham was chosen with the videotape rolling and an FBI agent in the room. He was the one chosen to do the interrogation. Now, the government has declined to state affirmatively the role that Detective Graham played in the investigation, but we can certainly infer that he didn't play a minor role from the choice to have him as the interrogator with the video rolling for the prime piece of evidence in this case.
Well, besides the interview of Bland, how else was Graham involved in the bank robbery investigation itself?
Your Honor, the government should know his exact role, but what we know from the record is that he interrogated Mr. Bland, and we know that Springfield police were the first to arrive on the scene and the first to speak with witnesses about what happened. The record demonstrates that he was the person chosen, and we don't know exactly what else happened. It's possible, had we explored this in depth or had trial counsel been on notice of the potential for misconduct of the police department, that there could have been admissible evidence of prior witness intimidation that would have been found. Trial counsel could have filed a motion to suppress the video. Trial counsel could have cross-examined the eyewitnesses who were already shaky. In his closing argument, he argued that it looked like they had been pushed. And trial counsel also could have cross-examined the other law enforcement officers about the tactics that they used at the scene of the robbery and with Mr. Bland before the interview took place. We know under Brady that the government had an affirmative obligation before trial to investigate and hand over any materials against its witnesses, and it failed to do that entirely. Likewise, the district court abdicated its role as a neutral fact finder by refusing to give even a cursory examination of the materials offered by the government after trial. Now, where the government and Mr. Bland disagree is the appropriate remedy. This court has 3 options: a new trial, a remand for in-camera review, or nothing at all. Now, in order to affirm the conviction, this court must find that the suppression and nondisclosure were harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. That's not possible here, where the record demonstrates prejudice, as Detective Graham and the Springfield Police Department were engaged in just the kinds of things where we would have been worried about misconduct. They interviewed witnesses at the scene, and they interrogated Mr. Bland.
But don't you have a big problem? I mean, one of the things we have to do, even assuming that there was error, is we have to look at this whole record and find out, would it have made a difference? And Bland was found in possession of a gun similar to the one used in the robbery. His handprint was on the bank door, and there were multiple witness identifications. And these various friends who testified that before the robbery he was unemployed, had little or no money, but then had money. The false statements well, no, after the arrest, Bland admitted that he had recently given $3,500 to the sister. What should we make of this evidence?
Well, Your Honor, the government's closing argument relied mainly on the videotape and repeatedly called Mr. Bland a liar and said that he lied. Now, if the government had relied on all of that other evidence, that would have been one thing. But if you look at the closing arguments are proof of the materiality of this evidence. Now, additionally, as in U.S. v. Souffrant, you should look at the record as a whole. But when you begin to look at the different pieces, the eyewitnesses were incredibly shaky. And that was a major point made by trial counsel. Now, had trial counsel known that there actually was a possibility that these witnesses had been pushed, it would have been a different game entirely. The reason why we have disclosure rules like Brady is so that you don't have to conduct a fishing expedition into possible coercion, possible misconduct by government agents.
Well, does the record reflect that it was Graham who did the witness interviews? I thought it was his involvement was just to take the statement, which, you know, if we didn't have the videotape, perhaps his prior misconduct might be relevant to his credibility as a witness if he were being relied upon to accurately recount what your client told him. But with the videotape, that sort of obviates any relevance of prior misconduct on his part, unless we know that he had some other role in the investigation, such as interviewing witnesses.
Yes, Your Honor. We don't know exactly who was present or who did the interviews of all of the witnesses at the scene of the robbery. We know that the Springfield Police Department was the first to arrive on the scene.
It's not in the record which officers took the witness statements? How can that be?
I'm not sure. Additionally, the government's brief never makes a definitive factual statement that Graham didn't participate in other aspects of the investigation. And the government should know his exact role.
So the witnesses who testified and made IDs and so forth and were shown, as I understand it, there were photo arrays in this case. Isn't that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
There is nothing in the record or nothing was disclosed to defense counsel in the way of a police report about who took their statements? There's got to be a signature of an officer on those documents.
Now, our office, I see that my time is up, and I want to save 3 minutes for rebuttal, but I'd like to answer your question first, if I may. Our office was not trial counsel, so I don't know what documents trial counsel had at its disposal. From the record, we know only that the Springfield Police Department was the first to arrive on the scene, and we know that that they were there. We don't know their exact role, and the government has not affirmatively said that Detective Graham was not there, and they should have that information at their disposal.
Thank you, Ms. Hodge.
Thank you.
Mr. Harris. Why don't you begin with that last point? What was Graham's real involvement beyond this videotape?
Did he take
any other witness statements? Was his name on the reports?
No, Your Honor. The record shows that Detective Graham's sole role in this case was to interview the defendant in April at the Logan County Jail. Defense counsel had all the witness statements from the interviews, and it would be clear from those witness interview statements that Detective Graham did not participate in any of those interviews, Your Honor.
So his name wasn't on any of those reports?
No, Your Honor. May it please the court, Ms. High. Excuse me. My name is Gregory Harris, and I represent the United States in the Central District of Illinois. There's no question that the United States did not know of these documents prior to trial, should have known, and that the knowledge is imputed to the government under Brady. But the question is whether or not these undisclosed impeachment records would have changed the outcome of the trial or lead to a lack of confidence in the trial. And in this case, it's clear that it would not, for two reasons. One, because of the substantial nature of the evidence against the defendant. In this case, there were basically five different pieces of evidence. We first have the, I think, most important and serious piece of evidence, which was the defendant's fingerprint and palm print, which was contained on the door of the bank, which was immediately discovered right after the bank robbery. Secondly, we have eyewitness testimony from a number of the bank employees who were present during the bank robbery, all three individuals who were asked to identify the defendant either identified the defendant in court or through a photo array. Third, we have the defendant who was unemployed and on the day of the bank robbery, almost immediately after the bank robbery, was in possession of a large quantity of money. His girlfriend testified that he gave her $200, his sister $200. They went on a shopping spree at the mall. When the defendant was later arrested, he was in the jail, and all those jail telephone conversations were tape recorded. At that time, the defendant mentioned that he had given his sister $3,500. So there's evidence that the defendant had no means of support, but yet had this money on the day of the bank robbery. Fourth, the defendant, 3 days after the bank robbery, was found in possession of a firearm that all of the witnesses who were present at the bank testified was very similar to the firearm that was used. It was a black, small-caliber pistol that had a slide. That was the very type of gun that was found in the trunk of the defendant's automobile. And finally, we have the false exculpatory statements that the defendant made at the time he was in the Logan County Jail when he was interviewed. The second basis for this court taking confidence in the outcome of the verdict in the trial is that the testimony of Detective Graham was corroborated by the videotape. It's not as if we had to rely on Detective Graham's testimony to tell us what the defendant told him, which of course was the most important information to take from that interview. Not necessarily what Graham was saying, but what the defendant was responding to. We don't have to guess. The jury did not have to guess because they saw the defendant testify or make statements on a videotape. In fact, they had better evidence than just reporting what a witness said the defendant testified to or said, because they could look at the inflections and the tone, and they could see the defendant as he actually made these statements. So in this case, based upon the circumstances that the evidence was substantial and that the Detective Graham's testimony was totally corroborated, this court can take confidence in the verdict that it was the right verdict in this case.
Now, the district court never had an opportunity to review those files relating to Graham.
The district court chose not to review those documents. The government, when it found out that there had been some evidence or some documents that the government did not have at the time of trial, assembled all these documents, reviewed the documents, determined that there was no evidence that pertained to this defendant Bland specifically or to the investigation, and suggested to the court that it did not need to review in camera the records, although it made those records available to the district court. The district court declined to review those documents on the basis that the evidence against the defendant was substantial, that the tape corroborated Detective Graham's testimony, and that the defendant had not requested a new trial, which leads me to my last point, and that is, Your Honor, that the defendant has failed to request a Brady review, failed to look at the documents himself, failed to ask the court to look at the documents in camera, and therefore we should review this, or the court should review the Brady issue under the plain error standards.
Thank you.
Questions? Thank you, Your Honor. We'd ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
Thank you. How much time does she have? 2 minutes, Ms. High.
Yes, Your Honor. Detective Graham was accused of withholding reports of contrary interview witnesses. And police reports often do not document every interaction that the witnesses have with police. It's entirely possible, given that Springfield police were there before the FBI ever arrived, that the Springfield police were involved in questioning these witnesses and definitely interacted. There was not an opportunity for trial counsel to ask about this or to ask the eyewitnesses or law enforcement officials about what exactly happened at the scene, because trial counsel was told that the government was unaware of any misconduct or potential for misconduct by the police or law enforcement in this case. Additionally, trial counsel could have filed a motion to suppress the video, and that wasn't done. They didn't have a reason to file a motion to suppress the video and didn't know about Graham's prior misconduct. The trial counsel could have crossed eyewitnesses about who interviewed them. And additionally, the videotape doesn't always start rolling at the beginning of an interrogation. We don't know Detective Graham's role. And this case is not like, I see that my time's expired. This case is not like.
Not till the red light goes on.
Okay. This case is not your typical frivolous Brady claim. This is 4,000 pages documenting the misconduct of Detective Graham, including withholding interview reports of contrary witnesses, including also intimidating witnesses, just the types of things that Detective Graham and the Springfield police did when they first arrived on the scene and when he was the person chosen to interrogate the prime suspect with the videotape rolling. That cannot mean that he had no role in the investigation. It should mean that he knew what was going on, he had been at the scene, and Mr. Bland deserves a new trial, or at the very least, a remand for in-camera review.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. High, Ms. Mather, and the USC Mandel Clinic. We're very appreciative that you continue to take these cases and to provide us with such fine future lawyers to argue them. And, of course, very happy to see you, Mr. Harris, a frequent appearer before this court, and you always do a fine job. Case will be taken under advisement.